call the meeting to order. We do have a quorum. Representative, who's read the minutes? Representative Barr, have you had a chance to read the minutes?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
All right.
The minutes of February 2014th.
All right, Representative Barr moves the minutes for February 14th. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Members, we have a number of bills on the agenda today. We'll get right into them. Representative Fabian, I will move House File 772. We have the bill in front of us. Representative Fabian, these will be held over for possible inclusion. All right. And Representative Fabian, I understand you have two amendments. Is that correct?
I do, Mr. Chair, yes.
All right. So I will move, the A1 amendment, Representative Fabian, and then you have an amendment to the amendment.
That's right, Mr. Chair, yes, that would be
right.
A2.
So then I'll also move the A2 amendment, the amendment for the amendment. We'll vote on that one first. And again, this is to get the bill in the shape the author would like to present it. All right, so on the A2 amendment, first of all, any discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Now the A1 amendment as amended, I'll move the A1 amendment as well to get the bill in the shape the author would like to present it. Any discussion on the A1 amendment as amended? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. All right. Chair Fabian, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is, as you said, a bill for possible inclusion, but I hope it's more than possible. No, I'm kidding. Thank you. House File 772 addresses a concern that exists largely in northern Minnesota, and that has to do with the depredation of caused by elk and also by timber wolves. This is an ongoing program. It's something that we've worked on for the past few bienniums when I've been here, and we're going to continue that program in this bill, Mr. Chair. The A2 amendment has the dollar figures. If you look at the bill itself, the original 772, it was a blank appropriation at the very top of the page. Working with the Department of Ag, and I have to tell you, Mr. Chair, it is very nice working with the Department of Agriculture. You can see that we've plugged in some numbers there. On the A2 amendment, 1.2, there's $30,000 for fiscal year. And what that is for is to, one of the things that's happened with regards to the elk depredation program is the extension used to cover the cost and send an adjuster out to do the adjustments, whether it was on crops, forage, or fences. That has been discontinued. It got to the point to where producers were basically paying the adjusters to come and to their ranches or their farms, and having been a crop hail adjuster myself, that's a pretty unusual situation where a customer has to pay the adjuster. So what we're doing here is putting a dollar figure there, allowing the commissioner to spend this money to send adjusters out, and then we're also creating some flexibility in the bill, Mr. Chair, that will allow the commissioner to designate who the adjusters would be to come out. That might be a property casualty, it might be a crop hail, might be somebody with the federal crop insurance. And then also on the A2 amendment, you can see on line 1.4 and 1.5, we're inserting the $175,000 two times, and then on 1.6 and 1.7, the $125,000 two times. And so that brings the bill, the total, to, what is the quick math there, $630,000. Okay? So that's the thing. And just so that people know, this is somewhat controversial in northwest Minnesota. The elk herd is growing and causing more damage. I spent 45 minutes on the phone the other day with a constituent who's had 55 elk in his forage piles. People like the elk, but they don't like the fact that they're doing so much damage to their forage and their fences and their crops. So what we're doing here is trying to find some compensation for them. And with that, Mr. Chair, I'll turn it over to you and our testifier.
All right. Well, welcome, Commissioner. If you state your name and who you represent for the record, please.
Absolutely. My name is Andrea Bobble. I'm Assistant Commissioner at the Minnesota Department of Agriculture, and I oversee the Animal Compensation Fund at the agency.
Welcome.
Thank you. We just wanted to express our support for House File 722, along with as amended, as well as thank Representative Fabian for his support on this issue. It is a very important program to our agency. We have a number of producers who use this quite frequently, and this does allow us to be a lot more flexible in terms of getting folks out there to verify the out claims as quickly as possible. Time is of the essence. A lot of times they're looking to harvest their crop as soon as possible, so we need somebody in the area who can get there immediately, and this allows us to send folks out there immediately to help producers get the help they need. So we're very supportive of this bill, and we very much appreciate your support.
Thank you. Any questions for the author or for the commissioner? Seeing none, is there anybody who would like to testify for or against this bill? Mr. Peterson, welcome. State your name for the record, who you represent, and begin, please.
Mr. Chairman, members, my name is Tom Peterson. I represent the Minnesota Farmers Union and appreciate Representative Fabian bringing this issue forward with this bill, and we do strongly support. This is always a tough issue from our farmers from here north to the Canadian border, and the wolf population has spread. And then also addressing the elk issues, and really appreciate that addressing this localized problem in Representative Fabian's district. And I think I also talked to maybe even the same farmer, but he'll say that, you know, 40 elk are different than 40 deer. It's almost like plopping a herd of dairy cows in the middle of your hay field, and they do a lot, considerable damage. And so the flexibility in this bill will definitely help that piece. We always think it's important, since I believe 1977 the state has recognized the economic harm that is caused by wolf and elk and considered it in the best interest of the state to reimburse farmers, and so we're hopeful that you'll continue this. I also talked to a couple of county extension agents in northern Minnesota this week just to see how it's going, or, you know, are we having activity, and both said it's kind of quiet right now, but as the deer leave their winter bedding and move out into the fields and spring calving starts is when they generally see the uptick, and we do have a healthy wolf population in the state, we believe, and so we feel that this bill takes that into consideration. And then a couple of things I just want to leave with it. In these, it's not always a slam dunk, or for a farmer to approve a wolf claim, it is difficult. You have to do it within a couple of days. And so that it's farmers do take precautions, whether it's guard dogs, or on our farm we have the blinking lights from the firm in Princeton. And so we do a lot of to avoid this happening in the first place. And also in your bill, too, in this law that I think has been really helpful over the years is the ability for the department to move funds between the elk fund and the wolf fund, because some years you have not as much wolf damage, and some years you have more elk damage. So appreciate your consideration. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Any questions for the testifiers? No. Any closing comments, Representative?
Mr. Chair, I would like to point out the letter that's in your packet from the Cattlemen's Association. They've been instrumental in helping to move this issue forward, and I appreciate the committee's time. And thank you, Mr. Chair. I look forward to possible inclusion.
All right. Thank you. I should ask one more time. Does anybody else would like to testify for or against this bill? Seeing none. All right. With that, Representative Fabian, we will hold House File 772 as amended to be held over for possible inclusion. Thank you,
Mr. Chair.
All right, next on the agenda, Representative Petersburg. House File 267. I'll go ahead and move House File 267. We have the bill before us. I don't see any amendments. Representative Petersburg, to your bill.
Thank you, Chair Hamilton, and thank you, members of the committee, for allowing me to present House File 267. This is a fairly simple bill. It's one that we've seen here 2 years ago, and it is something that we think is valuable to continue on its process. In a nutshell, it appropriates $25,000 as a grant each of the next 2 years to Southern Minnesota Initiative Foundation for a local food program that has been very successful. I believe you have information in your packets about it, so I'm not going to read all of that because I want to keep this brief for you, but I would like to just highlight a few of the key items here. It is called The Feast, and it's a local foods marketplace, and it's a two-day trade show and public expo that is held in December in Rochester at the Mayo Civic Center. Basically, it's designed to grow regional marketplace for local food entrepreneurs, from farmers to food manufacturers. Food manufacturers could be something as in my local town, Owatonna, somebody who makes homemade candies. And it has been very, very valuable over the years. It's been 3 years in that it's been in place. The last 2 years did get funding through the Department of Ag. In this last year, attendance grew to by over 30% to over 1,600 people stopped in, and it had 100 businesses that came from anywhere from up to Bemidji all the way down to Des Moines. So it is getting to be larger and larger, and it's growing, and it allows for people to connect both personally as well as online, and it helps local farmers, local entrepreneurs as well. In the latest survey of those that participated, about 80% of those responded. This is the first time that they've been there. And of those, about 47% said that the feast actually increased their interest in local foods. And I think that's one of the things that we're really trying to promote, is that we don't always have to think about metropolitan areas as being our food source. We certainly can look at our local food providers in around us as well. So basically it extends the reach and opportunities of consumers and businesses to educate, learn, and partner to grow the local food opportunities. And that in the last few years as well, it's also allowed three new food peer networks, which includes the new Grow a Farmer Fund, the Feast Smart Start Initiative, and the Finance Advisory Committee. And so I'm asking in this bill to again extend that $25,000 a year appropriations through the Department of Ag for a grant for Southern Minnesota Initiative Foundation, which is one of the primary and premier sponsors, along with the McKnight Foundation, Renewing the Countryside, Mayo Clinic, to help promote this particular event so that people can have greater opportunities to connect with the marketplace as well as with local farmers. And with that, I just ask for your support of this bill and possible inclusion into the omnibus bill, and we'll close and answer any questions that you may have.
Well, thank you, Representative Petersbaugh, and I think you just hit on it. Are there other supporters of this program, financially and otherwise? You mentioned a couple there, I believe.
The ones that Mr. Petty gave me are part of the key sponsors, and it's not all of them, but some of the key ones are Renewing the Countryside, Mayo Clinic, McKnight Foundation, Southern Minnesota Initiative Foundation, and as of the last 2 years, also the Minnesota Department of Ag through this grant program.
Okay, thank you. And I remember, last time you brought out the heavy hitters. Former Congressman Penny was in here to testify on behalf of this bill. So,
and by the way, he sends his regards as well. He was unable to attend today. He has other commitments, but he appreciates your support.
Thank you. Any questions for the author of the bill? Any questions? Seeing none, it is a public hearing. Anybody like to testify for or against this bill? Seeing no one making their way up, so I will renew my motion that House File 267 be held over for possible inclusion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Next on the agenda, Representative Poppy. Representative Poppy, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Would you like to move your bill?
I would like to move my bill for possible inclusion.
All right, Representative Poppy moves House File 561 be held over for possible inclusion. Present your bill, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 561 increases the amount the Minnesota Department of Ag uses to support the farm advocates in Minnesota. And it would increase by $40,000 per year added to the base. Currently, there are nine positions throughout the state. But I'm saddened to tell you that actually on February 14th, one of the farm advocates, Mary Ryerson from Thief River Falls, was killed in a car accident. So I'm very pleased today to have one of our farm advocates with us, and she's going through some grieving as well as the people that had worked with her. So this bill is both timely and necessary as the need to have farm advocates becomes more apparent when farming is in a downward cycle. Farm advocates are connectors. They're people that know the area and the region, and they know the professional services and the providers that they can connect with and that they can refer people to. They're also, farm advocates are problem solvers and helpers. They listen, they understand, they coordinate, and they advocate. And that's a position that's different from many other aspects that we hear about when we hear about mental health providers or bankers or farm lender mediation or farm business management people. They are the advocates. They have knowledge, skills, and abilities that have been honed through their own personal experiences and by receiving continuing education on many complex issues. I'm very pleased to have with me today Connie Dykes, who's a farm advocate from Lake City, and she will provide more insight about what she does and the responsibilities that she carries forward. Thank you. Chair.
Ms. Dykes, please state your name for the record, who you represent, and begin. Okay.
Connie Dykes. I'm a Minnesota farm advocate with the Minnesota Department of Ag.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad Ann or Jean mentioned about Mary Ryerson. She was with us, and we were all doing this since 1980. In the 1980s, 84, in that area, we've been working together, and she's been a real, real strong advocate in the Northwest, and we have worked together for many years, and she's going to be greatly missed.
Yeah. Ms. Dykes, yes. We have we do resolutions for people who are, you know, very instrumental in ag. And with your guidance, leadership, and maybe permission, do you think it would be valid for this committee to have a resolution drafted for Ms. Ryerson as far as the work that she has done for her family?
Oh, yes.
And present a resolution? Would you help with that?
Oh, I would, yes.
All right, so we'll get you the information. Okay. Of our staff's contact here. If you would help, we'd greatly appreciate
that. I would be very happy to, yes.
Thank you. And to your testimony, please.
Well, my husband and my two sons and I farm, we grain farm in Lake City. We did have a beef herd, but we don't have that at this present time. So I work with the farmers I understand what it takes to go learn the insurance program, work with FSA. When they call me and they ask questions, I have lived it. I know what's going on. Usually when a farmer contacts me, sometimes it is a young farmer is applying for a new loan, and I work with RFA, Rural Finance Authority, and the bank, and the other lenders, and the seller lots of times. We're trying to get into that as seller assisted more so that, you know, in these times that they don't have to go and get all the money from a bank or a financial institution. I work with that. I work with Farm Business Management. Most of the farmers do work with them and have a contract with them. So they do their annuals, and if they don't, I try to contact with a farm business management provider, and then they work with them and get their numbers in a row, because this is what people need to do. They have to know their financial situation so they can, when they go to the bank, they know what's going on very clearly. When a farmer gets a notice of mediation, the mediation program, as another arm of us, not us, but that's another arm of the extension, they send out a brochure with the advocate information on it. And if the farmer doesn't contact us, the mediator does a lot of times when they have their first initial orientation. They'll tell them they should contact an advocate. And then we meet with the farmer, and we meet with Farm Business Management. And when the mediation takes place, we travel to the mediation and be the farmer's advocate. And through this, we also work with the bank. We try to keep things going and try to get an agreement with the bank. And if we can't, then we have a list of attorneys that we can put the farmer in contact with. And I guess another thing I want to say, we're on call 7 days a week. And I work out of my home and provide all my own. I'm my own secretary and my own assistant. And my husband, of course, he takes calls too sometimes.
Give him some credit, right?
Yes, he has to have credit too. But and then we do work with mental health professionals in the counties, and we meet with them occasionally. And Ted Matthews, he goes statewide and works with people if we would think that the people needed to have some counseling or just talk things over with Ted. He works in the whole state, so we have contact with him.
Ms. Dykes, can you help us understand a little bit, how do you determine the area in which you're focused on? Is it geographical? Is it areas of expertise? Can you explain that a little bit?
Well, it's pretty much geographical, but I have people that call me from, like, Shakopee, Albert Lea, and southeast, and clear down to the Iowa border. I work in that area. And there's advocates from, like, west of Mankato. But sometimes, if they want to just talk, I do talk with them. I don't just say, no, I'm not going to speak with you. Yeah. So, but mainly, that's the area I work in.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any questions from members, or the author, or the testifier? Yes, Representative Lean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Banks, can you talk a little bit about the last couple of your work over the last couple of years, and if you've seen an uptake in your work just based on current situation, the ag economy, crop prices, some of those things?
Ms. Banks. Yes, I can. The dairy, there's been a lot of dairies that have been having trouble because of the low dairy price. I work with those. It's usually a family farm, and it's usually, I'm working currently with someone that milks 800 cows. They've been having low prices, and it's really been difficult. We're trying to work through things. We're working with FSA right now, maybe to have the sons take over portions. I worked with the turkey farmers down in southeast when they had the trouble 2 years ago. It was, some of them have had to sell off a lot of their assets. It's a sad situation, but that's what's happened. And the grain farmers, I'm finding it is, the uptick is happening. I've got three currently in, like, over by Owatonna and west over by Albert Lea, that they're young farmers, I call them, 50 years old, and they're really having financial problems. And some of them are just saying, well, they've rented their land, like 2,000 acres, and tried to do it that way, and they're going out of business. Mm-hmm. And no matter what we try to work it through, but it's a very serious deal because, you know, we need those farmers that age.
That we do. Yes. Representative Lean, follow-up?
Thank you.
Any other questions from the members? Anybody else like to testify for or against the bill? Seeing none. Any closing comments, Representative Powell?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This definitely is a needed service that's provided, and I appreciate that the Department of Ag has the contracts with these farm advocates, but they clearly are people who have their heart and soul dedicated to doing the work that they're doing, and I appreciate also, Mr. Chair, your comments regarding Ms. Ryerson. I think that would be very appropriate, so thank you.
Thank you, Representative Poppy. And Ms. Dykes, thank you for your testimony. And like I said, if you'd visit with staff here a little bit too, so we can get some more information. All right. Well, thank you so much. So Representative Poppy will renew her motion that House File 561 be laid over for possible inclusion. Thank you, Representative Poppy. Thank you. Next on the agenda, we have Representative Anderson. Chair Anderson. Chair Anderson, welcome to the committee. Would you like to move your bill?
Mr. Chair, yes, thank you. I'd like to move House File 330
One. All right. Representative Anderson moves House File 331 be held over for possible inclusion. The bill's before us. Please, to your bill.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. As you know, last year we had some emphasis on farm safety in the Ag Committee, and thanks to you, Mr. Chair, for your support financially to kind of try this program out for the first time, and it really went over well. And also thanks to the Department of Ag for administering it. And I want to put a plug in for them. Last year's appropriation was $250,000, and the statute said that they could allocate up to 20% for their administration cost. And they only spent $7,500 on administration, which is a very small percentage. And so I'd like to thank them for the leanness of running the program. They were able to kind of tap into a call center in New York State, which really helped to cut down the bookkeeping and costs and such. So thanks to the department for doing the program very, very well. Some numbers as to what the program accomplished last year. There were 85 rollovers that were installed, and the farmers got their checks. They're all paid for. There are another 141 roll bars that have been approved, and they're just waiting for the receipts for either the installation or the roll bar itself to cut the checks and get those paid for. And the MDA estimates that when they finish paying up those last ones, they'll have compensated 226 roll bar installations for a total cost of about $255,000. And the initial dollars, I should mention, we also solicited some funds from private companies last year. We got a total of $42,500 from Land O'Lakes, CHS, Agribanks, from ADM, and from Cargill. So thanks to those folks as well. And again, we're going around again this year, seeing if they will ante up again. And some of those have said yes already. So also some good support from the private folks for the program. So, Mr. Chair, this year's appropriation request is a little bit slimmer, $150,000, because there is a backlog of guys and gals still wanting to install roll bars on their tractors. And again, I see the main need for this if they're going to mow road ditches, and especially now this coming year when you have to have all the safety equipment to mow road ditches. So the program, I think, proved that it was welcome and needed, and it went very well last year, Mr. Chair.
Thank you for your leadership on this. Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Representative Anderson. Just wondering, do you have any data on how many rollover accidents are reported in a year?
Chair Anderson.
I'm going to have to phone a friend for that. I know the rollovers are the leading cause of death among farm accidents, and maybe somebody from the department could help me out here. Farming is a dangerous occupation, and
we'll call on Ms. Place or the commissioner. They're looking for the number. You stumped them. Representative Erdahl.
I feel like I'm teaching again.
Commissioner, are you able to answer Representative Erdahl's question?
Absolutely, Mr. Chair. Thank you so much. Representative Erdahl, so if I can do some quick math, just from 2004 to 2014, there were total over 210 fatalities due to agricultural-related work. I'm sorry, what?
Representative Erdahl, can you speak into the microphone, please?
2004 to 2014.
Commissioner, I was talking to Representative Erdahl.
Oh,
thank
sorry.
You for speaking into the microphone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm new at this. I'll remember next time.
All right. Thank you.
And the percentage of that 210 is 35%. So if anybody can do that quick math, but I can get that number for you.
70.
How much?
Representative Pearson.
Mr. Chair, that'd be 7 a year.
Thank you.
On an average.
Thank you, Representative Pearson.
And I do want to just say that in the event of a rollover, ROPs are 99% effective. So you have a pretty good chance of presenting a death or injury.
With a seatbelt.
With a seatbelt, yes.
Right. Chair Anderson.
Oh, that's all.
All right. Any other questions?
Any other questions? Would anybody like to testify for or against this bill? Seeing none. All right. Do we have people moving forward here? Wonderful. We'd love to see blue jackets. Please state your name for the record and begin your testimony, please.
Ed Terry, I'm the agricultural education instructor at Randolph High School. We testified last year and supported the initial bill, and we have some testimony for another bill here a little bit later, but I would just say that very effective, and one of the problems in response to Representative Rudolph's question is so many of these accidents happen and are never reported unless there is a death. So, I mean, we have a lot of rollovers out in the country where farmers just write their own tractors and may have a broken arm, broken leg, whatever, but we never hear about it. We don't have a good reporting system to answer a lot of those questions that you have.
Thank you, Mr. Terry. Who do you have with you?
This is Grant Oddie, the president of our FFA chapter.
All right, we'd like to hear from him as well. Please state your name for the record.
Grant Oddie.
All right.
Randolph FFA.
So, what do you think of this bill, Mr. Dottie?
Well, I had one of my colleagues from our FFA chapter speak here last year regarding this exact bill. Obviously, my feelings are very similar. This bill is very helpful for particularly farmers who have older tractors. As you heard, 210 fatalities with many more injuries that we haven't heard about. And as they said, the rollover protection reduces the fatality 99%, 99% effective, essentially. And so this is a very proven measure to prevent those fatalities, and we are very much in support of it. I have a little write-up for the next bill we'll be hearing here, so I can go more into detail on that. I'll save the rest of my spiel for when I come back here, but
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Representative Bly.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to take a moment to thank you for coming up here and testifying. Although Randolph is not in my district, I know there are a number of Northfield students who've attended your program over the years and really benefited from your excellent work. So thank you for being here, and thanks for all the work you do.
Yeah. Thank you, Representative Bly. Any other questions for the testifier? We have to come up with a really tough question for the gentleman in the blue jacket. So we'll be thinking about that between this bill and the next one. Any closing comments there, Chair Anderson?
My spiel is just about over, too. Just mentioned that the Randolph chapter had got one of the first, if not the first, rollover installed on their 706 red tractor. And we held a press, or the Department of Ag held a press conference out in one of the western suburbs here this summer, and Mr. Terry was there and spoke highly of the program, so I want to thank him for his support. But, Mr. Chair, this is a rather modest request. I would ask that you and the committee look favorably on this request to continue this rollover protection program.
All right. Chair Anderson renews his motion to have House File 331 be held over for possible inclusion. Thank you, Chair Anderson. And thank you to the testifiers. So, yeah, the next bill on the agenda is with Representative Johnson. I know he stopped in earlier, and he did have another meeting that he is at. I believe what we'll do, Representative Poppy, are you okay with moving the bill?
Absolutely. I'd like to move House File 259.
All right, Representative Poppy moves House File 259. Members, we do have an amendment, and the amendment did not meet the 24-hour rule. However, myself and Representative Poppy, we talked about this, and we're okay to forego the 24-hour rule to get this bill in the shape that the author would like to present it. So, Representative Poppy, you want to move the A2 amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the A2 amendment.
All right, we have the A2 amendment before us to get the bill in the shape the author would like to present it. Any discussion on the A2 amendment? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. All right, now we have the bill. I think what we'll do, we have the bill before us. We're going to keep moving here. I know that it's a busy time, and Representative Johnson will be okay with that, don't you think?
Yes.
I'm looking at my colleague here, Representative Poppy.
So can we please, I'm going to ask for testifiers. And I know we have a few testifiers that would like to testify on this bill. So would you like to just move forward and come on up to provide your testimony? And if there's anybody else, would the department like to comment on this bill at all? You don't have to. I'm just asking if you do. All right. So please, come on up. We want to hear the testimony. Come on up. Yeah. We're on a different bill. I'm going to ask you to once again state your name for the record and present your testimony, please.
Glenn Dottie, Randolph FFA.
Yeah. Welcome again. Please begin with your testimony.
Thank you very much. I was actually here at the Capitol last year for, it's called APEX. Minnesota State FFA puts on kind of a camp for FFA members to get to know the Capitol and government. And so I was here last year, and I'm back again this year, so I'm really starting to get to know the place, which some people tell me is not such a good thing, but I'm most definitely happy with it. Very happy to learn and be a part of everything we have going on here. So as far as this bill is concerned, our FFA was the first one to get a ROPS from this bill that you guys passed last year. So we are very proud to say we are the very first ones to have received the ROPS, thanks to that. And so our chapter specifically, we have about an 8.5-acre plot of land that we rent ourselves from our local co-op, and we have our own planter, our own tillage equipment, and our own tractor equipped with the ROPS that we use to run this 8.5-acre plot of land. Completely through our FFA chapter and by ourselves, we're able to operate this piece of land. And every year we have over 40 kids involved in the planning and operation of this plot of land. So it's a great educational experience that our chapter puts on, a very hands-on learning experience. And so my advisor just passed around a picture there. That's a picture of four of our students with our tractor that has the ROPS. So you can get a good look at that and get an idea of what we have there. On top of that tractor, we have 11 other tractors. Unfortunately, we don't use those in the field, actually. That is the only tractor we use in the field. The other 11 tractors were actually donated to us, and they're antiques. And so what we do is we restore them ourselves, fix them up, get them running, and we treat them as antique tractors, all of which were donated to us, which is a very nice testament to what we're doing. The community supports us very much. And so on top of that, that specific tractor that you're seeing with the ROPS, just last year and the last couple years, just last year it had the ROPS, we have had over 30 students operate that specific tractor. And so the big point we want to make is that as far as egg chapters are concerned, many different students will operate that tractor through the course of its lifetime, which is a little bit different to a personal farmer having it. Obviously not as many people, let alone students, will operate that tractor. And so we believe it is very important for especially schools and egg programs like ours to be involved in this bill. And our specific FFA chapter is a separate financial entity from our school. And so last year's bill, which was very helpful in covering the cost, it still costs us $500, which can be a significant burden on a smaller chapter like ours. And so this continued measure to cover the full cost of the bill for schools and egg programs like ours would go a long way encouraging us and other colleagues in the future to implement this ROPS program. And so, like I said, we feel it's really important for schools to be involved in this bill because we have many different students operating this specific tractor. And so we want to be at the forefront of this bill and this safety issue. And so this $500, the extra $500 covering the full cost is very much an incentive for us and other programs like us to help us. So thank you. We fully support this bill, and I'd be happy to answer any other questions you may have.
Well, Mr. Audi, you do a fantastic job. I don't know, does your instructor have anything to add? He's amazing.
He is. And, you know, this is the most important crop we raise in Minnesota, as I am. I am a farmer as well as an agriculture educator, but this is my most important crop.
Yes.
And if we'd have sat here 32 years ago, that would have been his dad sitting there as president of our FFA chapter.
Well, I can just see you over there beaming as he's talking. I can see the pride.
Well, you know, I've been in the business 46 years, and I wouldn't have been in it that long if I didn't think that this was the most important thing in the world, let me tell you that.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, safety is always job number one. And, you know, in terms of this program here, I really feel very strongly that education, particularly ag education, should be a leader in the forefront and encourage chapters that do have tractors. And, there's not a lot of chapters that have their own farm machinery like we do. But there are a few scattered around the state. And so it really is important that we be leaders. And like you said, you know, even $500 is a burden because we are pretty self-supporting with our FFA and everything. So we're very much in favor of the bill, and I'd also be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. I guess I was, the numbers that you shared, Mr. Audi, a number of kids, students that are actually operating it. You know, I mean, that was, thank you for your testimony. It was very eye-opening for us here as well, and I'm seeing a number of people nod their heads. So, Mr. Audi, you have any interest in politics?
Well, I do. I plan on going to college for business, but I am a firm believer in you never know where life takes you. And I've always had an interest in politics when some of my friends, you know, turn their shoulder. It is interesting to me, and you never know.
Very good.
Are you going to represent Blasey District?
This
is good. Ruffalo.
Oh, great. We will recruit you, buddy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Leave us your name and number. We're coming to sign you up.
When you turn 21.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Any other questions for the testifiers members? Chair Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. For the young testifier, you mentioned you had 11 antique tractors. Do you fix those up and sell them, or do you keep them all?
We have not sold one of those. We currently keep them all down right next to our school buses in the school bus garage. So we have not sold any of them. We keep all of them so far. So, and we just recently, what was it, last week, we got another one donated to us just last week. So
very nice.
Hopefully it keeps going. But
Chair Anderson.
So just out of curiosity, thanks, Mr. Chair, what are some of those older tractors you have, dear?
Well,
Mr. Audi,
you know, first of all, maybe I should explain how it came about. 1997, a couple of my students in Farm Power, we were basically working on small engines, said they wanted to restore an old tractor, so we dug around the countryside and found a 1942 SC case. It was one owner yet from the family that bought it, basically a wartime tractor. Fixed it up. The intent was to sell it. Kids kind of fell in love with it because of what they'd done. We scraped together a little more money and bought a 1940B John Deere next year. And like as Grant had said, you know, the community supports us very well, and they saw what these young people were able to do with these old tractors, and, you know, the rest have all been donated to us. So we have 42 SC case, 40B John Deere, we got a C Fire Mall, we got a 77 Oliver, we got a UB Moline, we got two M Fire Malls, we got an F-20 Fire Mall, an F-14 Fire Mall, 8N Ford, and most of those will be in our tractor parade on the 11th of April.
Very nice. Chair Anderson?
Follow up? Yeah, just one final question to Mr. Terry. You mentioned that some of the other chapters have their own tractors. Did any of the other chapters apply for roll bar, or how many do you think may be affected by this?
Not that I'm aware of, to be very honest with you. Mm-hmm.
Chair Anderson? No?
But, you know, in Randolph, safety is job number one.
Very nice.
And in fact, Tuesday, these young people will be at an implement dealer open house appreciation day with a safety display. Our tractor with the roll bar will be there, as long as a little demonstration on a little platform with a remote control tractor about rollovers.
Thank you. Chair Anderson.
So I should add one more thing. Talking about the people that helped with the program themselves, a lot of the dealers provided these roll bars at cost, which was really a nice gesture on their part as well. And so thanks to the dealers across the state, too, for helping keep the cost of the program down. And I might explain the amendment that we added to this bill. I thought it was going to be the one I had, but it was put on this one. It doesn't make any difference. It was just a little bit of a mix-up with the wording that would qualify for a roll bar, so they asked for a correction to get it up to the right standard. So that's it's just a technical correction, the amendment that we just passed here. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chair Anderson, and thank you for that. So we're hoping that Representative Johnson can get here to walk us through, but thank you for explaining that. Representative Juergens.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, you mentioned a parade of those tractors in April.
Yes.
Are there any other parades that we might see the tractors? And then also there's the antique power show at Bowers Farm south of Hastings. Are any of your tractors ever displayed there?
Yes, sir. They have been. And this parade started in 2002. A couple of young members came to me and wanted to drive the tractors to school to show support for agriculture and FFA. And FFA week, of course, is next week. That's pretty cold generally. And we said, nah, that's probably not a good idea. Maybe we should do it a little later. And so in 2002, we had 27 FFAers and farmers and a couple of dealers bring tractors to town for a parade. Last year, we had 127.
Wow.
In the snow.
Wow.
So April 11th, 9 o'clock, Randolph. That's the place to be.
Representative Juergens, is that right? Seeing no other questions, anybody else would like to testify for or against this bill? Seeing nobody, I am going to Mr. Oddy, a representative, future Representative Oddy, you get the last word. Any closing comments?
Yeah, I just want to thank you. We made huge steps last year with the bill. Now we're just adding on to a little bit. I just want to thank you guys for your support. Thank you for everything you've done for us. And like I said, like Ed said, we're going to bring our tractor Tuesday. I didn't mention this earlier. We're going to bring the tractor Tuesday. I mean, we do a good job as the FFA chapter is kind of the center of the community as far as farmers go. We're going to host a farmer breakfast where all the farmers will come to the community in a couple of weeks. And so we have the power to really educate the entire community from where we stand. And so we feel we are in a very good position to kind of be the people to lead the entire community. And so that's why this bill does a very, very good thing for us and helps us do our job. So thank you.
Thank you so much. The best and the brightest. You always make us proud. So with that testimony, how do we vote against it? Representative Poppy will renew her motion that House File 259 be held over for possible inclusion. All right, with that, we have made it through. One announcement. Next meeting will be on Thursday, the 23rd. We're not meeting on Tuesday because Ag Policy is going to be meeting that day. So seeing no other items, we are adjourned. Thank you. There we go. Went right there.
Yeah, but I can only hope that someday
you. Wow.